The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Inevitable Tremor, where we will investigate the truth about earthquakes and the next big one. Welcome to the show. Today, our guest is Elke, a DU lacrosse student athlete from the state of Washington. She's a naturalist and an avid hiker, but is also passionate and knowledgeable about earthquakes. So, tell me about how common are earthquakes in Washington?
They're not as common as of now, but all of growing up, like through elementary school and middle school, we learned about like the big one that's supposed to happen. But I think our most recent earthquake that was like we were able to feel was sometime in like the 1990s. It was when my mom was in high school. But we'll have like minor earthquakes, but we're not able to feel them because of how like low they are.
Well, here in California, earthquakes are especially common and can happen anywhere throughout the state. So what makes Washington so vulnerable to earthquakes?
A lot to do with the mountain ranges and that we're on a direct fault line, as well as Mount Rainier is an active volcano. It's been dormant for the past X amount of years, but it still has potential to erupt, and if and when it does, it will send a very, very high magnitude earthquake. So that's always kind of what we got taught growing up, and that's about an hour from where I live directly. So, yeah.
So, how did you learn about earthquakes? Was it in like middle school, high school, your science classes? How did that look? What did that look like?
It was kind of all through school, in elementary school and like middle school, and we do like science classes, we do a lesson on earthquakes, and just learning about, you know, the waves and the magnitude, where they are studied, what's important about them, the safety measures. Earthquake drills are something that are super duper common in Washington State, and I think across the West Coast as well. We probably have anywhere from 2 to 4 a school year, just to make sure that all students know the proper precautions to take during earthquakes. So yeah, I learned them at a young age, always been aware, and I'm not necessarily scared of them or anything, because I definitely got to learn about them and how strong they can be and how weak they can be. So that's definitely an advantage of living on the West Coast.
So earlier on one of my episodes, I talked about different fault lines, and in my episode, I talked about Washington's fault line. So what is the major fault line that lies beneath Washington?
It's the Cascadia subduction zone. It's right below the Cascade Mountain Range, which is one of the national parks in the United States.
And reminder for my listeners, the Cascadia subduction zone, it's the largest active fault. It's roughly 700 miles long, and it's at a convergent plate boundary, which is about 100 miles off the Pacific Coast shoreline, where that will affect Washington and the whole Pacific Northwest in the event of a serious magnitude earthquake. So, do you remember the school earthquake drills that you had to do, like being under your table, protecting your head?
Yeah, a lot of times what we were taught at a young age was you would go under your desk or like table, you would wrap your arm around the leg of the desk, and then you'd put your hand over the back of your head or neck, and you'd try to tuck your knees underneath you, just get as small as possible. And you always want to protect yourself first and then help others. And you want to stay far from windows, because windows can break during earthquakes, and you never want to go under an unstable surface. you want to be under a good heavy desk that won't break if the ceiling were to fall through or something were to fall on the building. Never want to be too, if you're outside, never want to be too close to trees. So during like recess, we always learn to like where to go, and you always want to be in like open field far away from trees so nothing can fall on you, or go into the buildings. Standing under doorways is always good, just because they are usually strong in metal or some sort of like reinforcing material, so standing under those is always strong, and if a building were to collapse, a lot of times they won't collapse. So those are all the things we learned.
So Washington is a great place for hiking, right? There's lots of woods, hiking trails. What's the scenery like for people that want to visit the state of Washington?
In my opinion, I think Washington State is one of the most pretty states in the whole like country. You get alpine glacier lakes, big, large like pine trees everywhere. But you can also go to the coastline and you're near beaches and get to see, you know, you can see the Puget Sound, which is an inlet in that covers a lot of Washington State on the west coast side. You can hike Mount Rainier, which is one of the most famous national parks. You can hike the Olympic Mountain Range. You can hike the Cascade Mountain Range. A lot of these are majority on the west coast side. The eastern side of Washington is a lot different in geography, a lot more like desert-ish and a bit flatter. But you're going to expect a lot of mountains, a lot of altitude, long trails. There's beautiful waterfalls you can go see. It's very, very pretty scenery. Yeah, I think Washington is beautiful. And there's a hike you can go to. If you're on the western side of Washington, probably at least like 5 miles from your house, wherever you live. So,
have you ever thought about an earthquake happening when you were hiking? What steps would you take if an earthquake were to happen and you were hiking in the outdoor trails?
I've definitely thought about it before, especially when I go hike Rainier. You kind of just have to use fight or flight and your like survival skills. Best thing to do is, I guess, try to like get as clear as you can away from trees, if that's a capability. If you can get near like a ditch or a ravine, to lay down flat in that is a great way to like protect yourself if an earthquake were to happen. It's a pretty risky situation if you're hiking and an earthquake happens, especially if you're in any of the mountain ranges nearby. But I think I would just try to do my best to protect myself, but also you kind of have to understand that where you're at is very like risky, just because you don't know if there's going to be a mudslide or, you know, rock slides or anything like that. But I think that's what I would do.
What emergency plans have you gone over with your family back home, and do you have emergency contacts like in state or out of state?
Yeah, I have both my sets of parents. Back home, I mean, we all know like what to do if there's an earthquake. You know, you get in the door frame. Both me and my sister have good desks in our rooms. And like we have certain areas in our house if we're at that we can go under and stable. And we have like emergency kits for if something were to happen, we need to leave our house. But I mean, at school, obviously, there's still, like, the chance of earthquakes just because California is also very similar to how Washington is. So I just have my family, and then I have some, like, family friends and family that live close by. And so if I were to need them in case of emergency, like, they have my number and contact, and they have contact with my parents. And so I would be able to be safe. But that's definitely something we've talked about before I left.
Would you care to explain what the difference of foreshocks and aftershocks are?
Yeah. Feel-wise, foreshocks and aftershocks feel pretty similar. Foreshocks are before the earthquake hits. They're low-magnitude shakes that, you know, you can kind of assume something bigger is coming. Aftershocks are the last, like, waves that kind of follow the big earthquake. Again, they're both pretty low-magnitude, and you don't feel them as strong, but it's kind of how you know it's coming, and then you know it ended.
So, have you ever heard of the shakeout day or the international earthquake day, where millions of people participate in earthquake drills?
October 17th is like the day of the years or whatever. And I mean, every year we kind of talk about earthquakes at school, especially like when I was a lot younger, like in elementary schools, we'd have a whole day and that's all we learned about. And, we'd have lessons on it. But yeah, we always do a fire drill an earthquake drill on that day. So that is always kind of something I remember all through high school and just school in general.
Of course, like it's actually like a holiday where it happens on every third Thursday of October. Yeah. Well, how might we be alerted of a disaster such as an earthquake? Are there alert systems? What can people expect?
I know that there's like certain apps like we learn about in school, My Shake app, which I don't personally have, but I know is an option, as well as the National Emergency Department will send out a message if an earthquake just has happened or is happening. I know in Washington we'll get messages on wildfires.
So let me introduce you, since you said you are not familiar with the My Shake app. So basically, it's an app where people in California, Oregon, and Washington could download the app and be notified of a magnitude of 4.5 or greater earthquake. But also they can report their own experiences with earthquakes and determine the level of shakiness and where they were. One question I wanted to discuss is about, do you think it's better to be in a big city during an earthquake or in a small town?
Personally, just from like what I can think of, I think I'd prefer to be in a small town, because in a big city you have big buildings, and I know that like buildings are meant to be earthquake safe and all those kind of things, but you never know, and depending on magnitude, like those buildings could tip and that causes extra destruction, whereas small towns tend to have smaller houses and everything and a lot more open field space if that's how you need to like escape, as well as a lot of times small towns I feel like have a lot more community oriented. And so you're able to get together, you know, maybe after a natural disaster, earthquake, for example, and, you know, get the community together to help rebuild homes and things like that. So I think safety wise and for the sake of afterwards, I think it's better to be in a small town.
I see. So what other natural disasters besides earthquakes can happen in the state of Washington?
One for sure is wildfires. We get them every summer pretty bad. Like Smokey the Bear is like, I feel like the mascot of Washington. Every time you go into a national park, a state park, anything like that, you see the fire safety rating, whether it's high, low, whether you can have outdoor campfires or not. We also get rock slides, some flooding, just because we're so near water. And you know, sometimes we'll get like maybe like an avalanche or snow stuff, but it's not as common. But yeah, wildfires have affected me my whole life. And, you know, sometimes our air quality can be so low or so high that, you know, we can't even play outdoor sports. It's not recommended to go outside. It can be pretty hard to breathe air. And we get a lot of the smoke too from, you know, California, Canada, Oregon. So kind of all those, you know, on the coast areas.
Do you think homes these days are built to withstand earthquakes, or at least better resist the shaking?
I definitely think they do. That's a great thing to think of. I know a lot of like older houses definitely aren't having like the best structure, and will probably be able to collapse easier. But as new homes are built, I think, especially like on in the Pacific Northwest and, you know, California, probably, you know, construction companies and have in mind that earthquakes happen and, you know, we're very vulnerable to them. So I think they're definitely getting built more in the future and like present. But I think some of the older homes aren't maybe as ready.
Thank you, Elke, for joining the show. Be sure, from listeners, be sure to come back to the next episode, and I'll have another guest speaker. So stay tuned.